Blog Talk Radio.
Solution and not the problem.
So I'm going to ask on my Facebook livers, if I get any trolls coming in, you all can handle the trolls, okay? Y'all know what the trolls are, okay? With that being said, I want to welcome everyone into Lady Talal Show. I want to most definitely welcome all my United States listeners, callers, chat boarders, all my international listeners, callers, and chat boarders as well. And, of course, the new group in the house, my Facebook livers, we welcome you. We welcome you to Facebook. We welcome you to Lady Talal tonight. Folks, we got a hot topic, and it's on tonight. But first, let me get my partner in the house. Miss Jenna, Miss Chocolate Drop, are you in, girlfriend? Okay. She's so quiet. I'm going to have to start docking Miss Jenna's face because when I call her, she don't say nothing. So.
No, okay. I don't. Not always. I don't answer right away. My apologies. Good evening, everyone. How are you this evening?
Miss Jenna, how are you?
I'm on the borderline, but I'm okay.
Ooh, okay, wait now. Wait. We can't have you on borderline, Miss Jenna. That's not cool. We can't have you on borderline.
Yeah.
We're going to fix that. That's something we have to fix, Miss Jenna. We can't have you on borderline. We just can't do it.
Well, I'm working on that. I'm working on that as we speak.
Okay, that's good. That's a good thing. I didn't know if I was going to have to pack my bags and come to Georgia and give somebody a beat down. Do I need to do that?
Oh, no. That
okay.
Right there,
okay.
Never have a problem with that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just thought I was going to have to, you know, act indignant for about 20 minutes. Okay. I'm just saying. Anyway, Miss Jenna, you already know what the topic is. And I'm stressing for people to come in, voice your opinion. Let's have this conversation. Let's not, especially for my Facebook Live folks, you can comment down here if you like, or you can either call into the show. And that number is 805-727-7101, okay? And press 1 to get into the caller queue. So feel free to call in or feel free to place your comments under the Facebook Live section here in the comment section. And we're going to have this discussion. But I want you all to participate. I don't want people sitting back and you're just listening, especially for my Facebook people. I don't want you just sitting back and just listening. Down to even my Blog Talk people, we want you all to come in and we want you to talk. Okay? It's a conversation that we need to have. Black lives matter. All lives matter. So what happened? That's where I met with that. What happened? Why aren't people's lives mattering? Now, mind you, we've been going through this a long time, but now it's so prevalent now, you can't get away from it. And now it's just all hell has really broke loose. Okay? So we need to have some type of a conversation. We need to be able to come on and do a conversation and be the solution and not the problem. And it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what background you came from. It doesn't matter what your religion is. You know, we need to be on common ground because you got not only the police brutality, the killing, you have people retaliating, but now we have this election that nobody should, you know, they don't care for Hillary, and they don't care for Donald Trump. So guess what? That's our choices. There isn't anybody else unless somebody killed Donald Trump. Then you would have to put another Republican up there. Or unless somebody killed Hillary Clinton, then you would have to put, I mean, you know, I'm just saying. That's our choices right now. So this is what we have to choose from. So with all of that being said, let's see where we want to start at on this. Ms. Jenna, are you able to elaborate on this subject?
You said, am I able to do what, Ms. Cass? I'm sorry.
Are you able to elaborate on the subject?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot to elaborate on. Give me one quick second because right before we went on air, I received a phone call, and it kind of, like, threw me off because this person had been in New Orleans, and now all of a sudden they turned up. Something's going, it sounds fishy. So I got a lot to elaborate on. So with this, it's a lot of chaos. Having a male black son, myself personally, I worry every day. Even with my daughter, I worry every day. Going out and driving, because it's just strange. Because I was coming home last Saturday evening, and even after having my taillights, I was pulled over by the police. I had somebody else driving me. but she just so tiny. She looks like a little kid. So they pulled over the officer. Do you know why I pulled you over? I was like, if I don't know why you pulled me over, wow, you know, unfortunately, no, I don't know. What's the problem?
Right.
Your tag lights out. I say that shouldn't be out because I just had this repaired. Oh, okay, well, and then I'm going to let you know right now, I'm reaching into my glove compartment.
Mm-hmm.
Show you these documentation. And so I showed him the documentation. He was like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna give you a warning. Not, okay, go ahead and have a nice evening. Okay, I understand that. I'm going to write you a warning. The hell are you going to write me a warning for? You just told me, and I just told you and showed you all the information. Okay, fine. That's okay, that's fine. It's like it's late at night. It was late in the evening, but I'm just saying you pulling over, talking about a tag light because you can't see my tag light because you're trying to run my fucking tag. And this is a constant thing that we all go through when the police get behind any vehicle. They're not just riding down behind you on a subsequent matter. They're just going to follow you. They're running your tags as they follow you.
Okay, did we lose Ms. Jenna? I think we lost Ms. Jenna for a hot second. So as soon as she come back in, she'll resume what she was telling us. But I know a lot of you all can, talk about. I know you all got stories about being pulled over by the cops, depending on where you live at. I'm in Fairfax County. They can be a little bit rough. And like I said, you have good cops and you have bad cops. And Fairfax County is sort of famous for saying, the cops are sort of prejudiced. Not all of them are, and not all of them are bad cops, because I have met some really good Fairfax County cops. But I have encountered a few who were not nice at all. They were rude. And the thing is, you do have to know the laws so you do not be intimidated by them. And what happens, people become intimidated because one is the officer, it's a cop. You immediately, your defenses immediately go up, So now we have to sit and tell our children, if you get pulled over, you need to keep your hands on the steering wheel and don't make no fast movements and, we shouldn't even be going through none of that. But, unfortunately, that is what's going on now. So I remember having my two boys with me, and we went out. I took them to Taco Bell one night. And an officer pulled up behind me in drive-thru. He didn't get anything. But I had this feeling that, okay, he really up on my bumper. Okay, he's really up on my bumper. So, okay, I said, I'm going to see what he's going to do. So instead of me, when I pulled out from drive-thru, I decided I'm going to go and I'm going to cross the highway. I'm going to go across to the 7-Eleven. And I'm going to pull in and see, just see if he's following me. So I go and I cross the highway. I pull over to 7-Eleven. Sure enough, he rolled right on in, got out of his car, came up to my window. Now, mind you, my tags are good. My decals, and in Virginia, state of Virginia, Fisher Fairfax County, you have to not only have your license tags, but you also have to have these little small decals about this big on your car stating the month and the year, okay? And those have to be updated. And, of course, you don't want insurance lapsed on your, you know, license, none of that crap. You don't want any, none of that. And I'm straight. So he gets out the car, and I just said, you know, how can I help you, officer? And he was pretty much like, he didn't have a reason to pull me over. But he was sort of rude. And I think he was looking at the type of car I was driving. Here's a black woman with two children in the car. How is she driving this type of car? Because he couldn't find anything wrong with me. So the problem that I was a black woman with a very nice vehicle, that was an issue in a sense, but I knew the law. And so when he began to speak with me, I asked him several times, well, officer, can you tell me the reason why you have pulled me over? He couldn't. He had no reason to pull me over. So as he was so rude, I just took his badge number. I took his badge number and I asked him for his name. I guess he felt as though I wasn't going to do anything, but I did. And at that point, I said, well, officer, if you're not going to arrest me, you don't have anything on me. He didn't even ask for registration. He didn't ask for my driver's license. He just pulled me over because I was in a very nice car, and I was a black woman. And sometimes they do that. And I took his badge number. I reported him. And sometimes you have to know what to do, but now they just killing you outright. Yesterday, perfect example, a man laying down on the ground, hands up the whole time, and he's telling him, I am a therapist, I'm a counselor, and this child here is an autistic child, and I'm trying to come down. He has a fire truck. It's not a gun that he has. You know, he has a toy truck. He's telling the officer everything. The officer still shot him. The officer still shot him. And he asked the officer, he was like, why did you shoot me? And the officer was like, I don't know. So that's a little bit crazy. So we got to figure out how we can deal with this. Because, you know, when you say Black Lives Matter, and the reason why we say it is because we are targeted. Truth be told, we have always been targeted. It's sort of hard for white people to understand because, you know, back in slavery times, you know, it ain't even been that long. Truth be told, it was, what, 40 years ago that we really so-called free? Black folks didn't really become, I guess, so-called technically free until 1970, okay? 1970. That ain't been that long. It seems like it's a long time, but that really ain't been that long. And, you know, when we can just walk into places and not be considered, oh, you have to walk through the back door type deal, or you can't sit in here, or you can't get on the bus, you know, you got to pay your money, get off the bus, and then walk back to the back. So if you look at it that way, 1970, really, that we were considered somewhat free, okay? Crazy, but yeah. You know, the civil rights, we walked, you know, our parents, our grandparents, our great grandparents, uncles, they marched. They marched for us to be able to vote. I mean, some of us were slaughtered. Slavery time if they found out that you could read, you would get beat to death, almost, or killed, hung, lynched. And it is hard for, I think, for Caucasians, because they don't see that. See, to them back in the day, that was normal. You know, for you to have a black maid in the house, you know, and black butler in the house, and all, you know, servants. And so, you know, as time went on, of course, you have white people that are walking with, they're not looking at us at our skin color. They're looking at us as equality. They want us to be on the same level as we are. But then when you come to social media now all this stuff is out. You got people, you got precious folks coming at the woodwork now because they say some nasty stuff. You know, some of them really think that we are all criminals, that we are all criminals and we're thugs. Just this morning, I was reading when they did the conference this morning, and they had the protest in Washington, D.C., and it was a big, huge group of white people who were marching and saying Black Lives Matter, you know, the whole nine yards. And so a young lady said, really? Racism doesn't exist, but yet it does. You know, some of them came like, they need to go to work. Why? They ain't got no jobs. They don't have nothing else better to do. And one man came up and he said, well, if they weren't out here getting in trouble all the time and being criminals and thugs, they wouldn't get killed. They wouldn't get beat up. That's what he said. So here's the thing. When do we stop becoming the problem and start becoming the solution? That's what we got to think about. When does that take place? I don't know. Now, I see some of my Facebook Live folks out there. Put your comments in. Let's have a conversation about this, because now is the time. We don't have a choice. We can't. Black folks, we can no longer sweep this stuff up on the rug no more. We've been sweeping this mess up on the rug for years, because we, as a people, have chosen not to face it, not realizing that those scars that were placed on us years ago from our ancestors, from our grandparents, great-grandparents, all that left a mark on us. And we have not truly resolved the issue. So now you have racism. And not only just black people are getting a bad rap, but you got Latinos who are getting arrested, getting killed. Don't get me wrong, there are some white people that I have seen who have gotten beaten and went through some stuff, but they're not dead. I have not heard of one being dead, okay? But we're literally getting killed. There's a video online. Matter of fact, if you all go to, after the show, if you all go to my Miss Cassie, host of Ladies Tell All page right here on Facebook, there's a video on there where a grandmother is in court. And what happened was her house got raided on. Actually, it was the wrong house that got raided. And cops bust in. She was trying to get her granddaughter. They came in blazing, okay? And so when they finally turned the light on, little 7-year-old granddaughter of hers was shot in the head. So this cop killed the 7-year-old little girl. They did not try to help her. They didn't try to save her. None of that. But when you hear the grandmother on the stand goes into complete pieces. And this officer is standing over here like, hey, because what he said was that the lady killed the 7-year-old. If you listen to the video, he's pretty much saying that, you know, the grandmother killed the 7-year-old. She did something to him, which wasn't true. And he's just standing there like, and the case was dismissed. So we have all these atrocities that's going on that each one now has built people to the point where they're in this hatred mode. Everybody's hating, everybody's backbiting, and nobody's trying to resolve anything, and people are not trying to be the solution versus being the problem. And then, not only that, but people are blaming Obama for everything. He is the cause of the United States being divided. Not true. He is the cause we got racism because he's half black, half white. Not true. Really? So we got all these things going on, and nobody's, you know, doing anything. Yes, we have the protesters out there, and people come online and they make their comments. If you could complain and say they need to all go to their job, I have to ask you, if you can get online and criticize somebody for out here standing up for something that they believe in that's supposed to be right, and you're telling them, saying they need to go get jobs, why are you on? Do you not have a job that you sitting on here looking? And if you don't like it, why are you watching it? And now we have one Democrat, one Republican. And Trump speaks to, this is my opinion, Trump speaks hate. He doesn't speak love. He doesn't speak trying to work things out. He speaks hate. And then he speaks rhetoric. He's crazy. And people are bashing Hillary because, oh, she lied about the email. Oh, she lied about this. She lied about that. Let me tell you something. Do your history on Hillary Clinton. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Do your history. We didn't have Medicaid for children the way we should have had. We didn't have it until this woman, her husband was elected in office, and she got in there just like First Lady Michelle Obama. She got in there and started working on stuff. So that insurance for children, that Medicaid that, you know, these children get, these single mothers get, or people get to when they, that came from Hillary Clinton. Go in and do your homework. Go in and do your homework. Because right now she's about the best candidate we got. Like I said, that's the only thing we got now. But listen to the convention. I haven't heard not one thing about what he can do for this country. How are you going to make America great? I thought we are great as it is. But I guess he's going to make it greater. Haven't seen it. So I see you all on Facebook. Chime in. Let me see if I can get Miss Jenna back on. Miss Jenna, are you in or are you still out? I think Miss Jenna might be out.
No, I've been in. I don't know what happened. But I was still talking.
I was hearing you talking, and you went out. And I was like, well, where did she go? I said, well, when she come back, you'll finish her story.
I'm like, hello? Can I anybody? So I hung up and called. I'm like everybody else. I hang up and call back in. But I was still talking. I could hear you, and I was still talking. So I have no idea. You know, when you sometimes start to speak in the truth and you start to voice in your opinion, you know, it seems like just magical technical difficulties start to come in.
Well, that's all right. You're going to finish your story. I'm on hush for a minute. I really want Miss Jenna to finish this because She's just like me. I have sons. A lot of us have sons. And we're on, what's that orange? What's the alert, the highest alert level? Orange? That's where we all at right now.
Shit. It ain't better that we went past this, the being red. But as I was explaining about being pulled over before I was before they cut me off, because I didn't cut myself off. But anyway, the powers that be, anyway, I'm going to speak this. But as I was stating, you know, I was pulled over, and the officer was explaining why he pulled me over. Okay, a tag light for anything else you pull a person over because their tag light is out, or either their brake light or something like that is out. Okay, it's concerns because that can cause accidents or things like that. But you so adamant about a tag light being out, and this is how they try to run your tags. As I was explaining, they get behind you, not just because they want to ride down behind you. See, they're running your tags at that particular moment that they're riding down behind you to give them a reason to pull you over. So just like, if I don't know if anybody paid attention, about a week or so ago, they had a lot of police officers that were on a panel, and they were asking them questions, and one police officer said, we are told that we have to get a certain quota, and we have to go out here and do certain things. We have to go out here and do it to make that quota. Running everybody's tag to see if they're legit. That's how the majority of the time they get you pulled over, because they're behind you running your tag, and then come up with something else telling you that this is out on your car or that is out on your car. You know why I stopped you? If I'd have known why you were stopped, I said, I'm psychic now. I know why you stopped me. Who the hell wants to be pulled over by a police officer, especially with a lot of things going on in the middle of the night or late at night, anytime during the night? I try my best not to. If I don't have to drive at night, I try my best not to get out here at night. I know how my mouth is, and I know I'm quick to say, if I knew why you pulled me over, shit, I would have, you know, already had an inkling idea. So, and that's the first thing come out of my mouth. What do you mean? Why do I know why? You came behind me, so what's the problem? There's nothing going on. They check for insurance, they check for registration, make sure your tag's straight. That's why they're running you. And when they feel like nothing is wrong with your car, when they feel like there's nothing going on with you, they go on to the next person. But that's what they do. But this is a police officer on these panels sitting here telling me. I just watched, and it was on Facebook also, where the police officer was corrupt, and he planted drugs on the one guy, and the guy spent about 4 years in there before his name was ever cleared, and they had to exonerate everything. But it just so happens that same information that I was reading, Steve Harvey had them on his show. And he said, I couldn't have been so forgiving. The same man that the same officer that was so corrupt and planted drugs on him and had him arrested for 4 years, a black man and a white officer, the same one the officer wound up being his mentor after the officer spent time and got, he was released from his position, and he had to spend time in jail for being a corrupt officer. But these two gentlemen wound up in the same place, and this officer wound up being this young man's mentor. He was like, you got to give me the strength on this one, because I don't know if I can handle this, because this is the same. You know, he prayed about it. He said he prayed about it. And at all costs, when they were working together, he would try to avoid this gentleman. And then he was like, one day, the officer said, you know, I want to apologize. He said, but that's all he wanted was an apology. And from there forth, they moved on and started building a relationship. And he explained to him why he was doing things. And that's why I say, you know, Black Lives Matter to me, because I'm an African-American woman with African-American children. And I have, and our ancestors, all of this, we're mixed with a lot of stuff, but our skin color, they don't care what we're mixed with. They don't know whether we're half white, half whatever, half what. All they see is the color of our skin. The majority of them. But to say the police lives matter, because if something goes wrong and we need to be protected, somebody trying to break in your house or you're in an abusive situation, you want to call the police, but you need to be able to trust them.
Exactly.
You want to be able to trust who's coming out to your home, and knowing that they're not going to shake it off and mumble under their breath, oh, that's just another one allowing a man to beat them. Then we're going out here for what? For them to get back together the next week and be back together. I've heard this before. I've heard and I've seen it. During a domestic issue, I was sitting somewhere and, you know, the police were called and then I heard that, and I was just a standby and the police officer said, why do we keep getting called out here? All of this is just another, you know, situation where she's going to allow him to come back in the house and they're not, and she's not going to press charges. She's not going to do anything. So it's like we're wasting our time.
A lot of women get killed too.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people are coming into things with the police officers are coming into the incident with a preconceived notion that, oh, you know, this is just another, you know, another situation that we're being called out for and there's nothing that's going to happen and so forth and so on. But, I mean, it's wrong. It's wrong for them to think that way because they don't know what the situation is.
Well, some of them are a little rough because I know my oldest son was, when he was about, I want to say about 5 or 6 years old, he became missing. A white lady took my child. She took my child, and we lived in the same neighborhood. She took my child, so my child was missing. Really for like almost 4 days was missing. And so we called the police at the time. They came out. When they came, they searched my home as if my husband and I had killed this child and stuck him up in a vent. And if you know in some houses you have like the big wall vent on your wall. They had unscrewed those, checking all up in there. I mean, seriously, like they checked our home 4 times. They checked our home 4 times. And I live in an area where right before school would get out, we had officers that were on bicycles. And I see Marquita in the house. Marquita know what I'm talking about because she used to keep my children. They would be on bicycles and patrol their neighborhood versus being in a squad car. And this child got missing. The cops came. But like I said, they searched our home as if we killed them. And one of the officers said to me, because I was upset, I was really upset. This has never happened to me before. I've never lost my child like that. The officer said, well, I don't know why you crying and why you all upset, because you probably did something with him anyway. And I'm going to tell you something. Ms. Jenna, my blog talk folks and my Facebook Live folks, I'm going to tell you something. I caught an attitude real quick. I'm telling you, I did. I caught an attitude real quick. I pretty much thought, well, you can take your little white ass on back up. What I'm saying, you can take your little white ass on back up to the police station and stay there. Because I don't need this. You can't tell me how I need to feel. And when you get a cop like that, they supposed to have had some type of sensitive training and learning how to, you know, to deal with people in that situation. But he was rude. I told him he had to leave the premises. I said, and I went and got his superior, because there was a lot of cops at the home. I said, he needs to go. He needs to go right now. There's going to be a problem between me and him. And they made him leave. But it took my neighbors and I to look for my child. And I'm going to tell you how this happened, because back then, this was in the 90s, and the Amber Alert hadn't been out that long. I think it had only been out a few years at that. And they didn't call Amber Alert. Yeah, they didn't, Marquita. They didn't. They didn't call Amber Alert. Amber Alert was not put out to say there's a child missing, X, Y, Z, none of that. The very next day, and I'm going to tell you how this worked now. The very next day, a little white boy got missing. Somebody snatched a little white boy. Within, I think the announcement went out around about 8 o'clock that morning. 12 noon, there were helicopters. There were cops on bikes and in their cruisers. And there was an Amber Alert call. And I knew the Amber Alert because they were on the news talking about the Amber Alert. Now, mind you, this is the day after my child was taken. The day after. My son didn't get none of that. Now, when you talk about Obama, I heard them talk about Obama, and they say he half white and he half black. This is why this and this is why that. I heard when they talked about Jesse Williams, and they were saying, oh, you know, well, he's half white and he's half black, so he shouldn't be doing, he ain't getting that kind of treatment. You know, he's raised as a black man. Whether y'all like it or not, yes, his mother's white, daddy black. But the way the laws have it, if your father is black or white, you go under your father's nationality. People don't understand that. Vin Diesel is a black man. His mama is German. His daddy is black. The Rock, his mama is Samoan. His daddy is black. Mario Van Peebles, his mama is white. His daddy is black. My oldest son, his mama is black with some other stuff. Daddy white. Okay. And they didn't do no Amber Alert. They didn't do anything. It took my neighbors finding him. And when I did find him, he was at this white lady's house in the same neighborhood. She had let my son, she allowed, well, let me just say this. My son slept on her kitchen floor for the whole time he was there. And she fed him tuna. The cops that did go around the neighborhood, they didn't do a thorough check, but they some of them did knock on the doors. From my understanding, my neighbor, the guy's name was Mike. Mike actually got out and drove all around the neighborhood helping me look for my son. And Mike said, that same night that all that happened, the cops were around. He said the next door neighbor said the cops went to that woman's house. He said they didn't ask to go in anything. They just asked had they seen this child or whatever, and she was like, no. So since she was a white woman, they automatically didn't go into the house. But the next house was a family of black people, and they not only asked, but they also went in the house. But they didn't do it with the white lady. Because she was white, they did not go in her house. And that was the house that my son was in. So it's just sort of ironic. So all of this stuff that's going on now, it starts at home. It does. It starts at home. And we have to do better at home. It starts at home. Racism is a taught behavior. It is not something that you're born with. You're not born coming out hating folks. That ain't, you know, unless you got some kind of chemical imbalance. But you don't come out, you know, if you put a black child and a white child in a room together with some toys and they have not been taught to hate, you know, or look at somebody's color, they're going to be playing with each other and having a good time. You know, I see a lot of little white girls got black baby dolls. And black girls, I'm one of them, we didn't have no choice but to have a white baby doll because they, you know, wouldn't. Let me tell you something. I got my first Barbie doll, black Barbie doll. Y'all know what the first black Barbie doll, you even know who she was, Miss America. First black Barbie doll. We didn't even have a Miss America back then when she came out. And I was about 13 years old. I was almost about 12 or 13 years old when I got my first black Barbie doll. Okay? All my other dolls have been white dolls. All the little popular dolls that can move and you can comb their hair. I don't know if y'all remember Chrissy, where her hair grows. You push her her belly button and her hair grows. You pull it out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And her hair grows and stuff, and you can comb her hair. And do y'all remember the big ballerina doll about this tall? She twirls, put a little, little crown hat on, and she twirls around. And then, of course, everybody know Barbie, because Barbie, Skipper, and her little sister, and Ken, and the little carrying case with the dolls in it. You know, you can carry the dolls in it, and have the clothes and stuff like that. Well, that's the kind of dolls I had, but mine was white. Okay? So I didn't really get out, you know. We do some crazy stuff, folks. You just have to look at how things have happened. I don't know if y'all remember the My Buddy dolls. There was a white one, and there was a black one. $4. I don't know if y'all remember Ames back in the day, the store, the discount store, Ames. Ames and Zayers, okay? Well, back, especially on Route 1 in Alexander, Ames carried the dolls. The My Buddy doll is about this big, and the white one was $24. The black one was $30. No, I know because I bought my son one. The black one was $30, and it was said that it cost more to make the paint and all that kind of stuff for a ethnic colored doll. But what was getting me was that the white folks was walking up in there and buying all the black dolls, and you couldn't even get a doll. Because they were buying all the dolls, even down to the Cabbage Patch doll. Now, I'm hearing somebody that got some, Comedian Micah, I hear you, bruh. I think I hear. Is that Comedian Micah?
Hey, Miss Cassie, I didn't even know you could hear me.
You smoking hard, bro. You puffing hard on that bad boy. I hear you.
My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was just listening to you talk. I fault.
Yeah, but I know y'all remember these dolls and stuff. And it's just funny how they do. You know, like even with the Cabbage Patch doll. Y'all remember when the Cabbage Patch doll became like a real, real doll? Well, of course, I got my son. They had the boy dolls, and I actually got my son one, but it wasn't any black doll. It wasn't even black Cabbage Patch doll. And they didn't come until like 3 years later. Of course, that black one cost more. So, you know, it's just ironic that now we are still dealing with racism. It is now... Years later, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all these leaders that were fighting so hard against racism, they're and for civil rights, they're now gone. And we're still dealing with this, and we've swept it up under the rug for so long that now we don't have a choice but to face this. So that's why we have to have these type of conversations, because you know what? You work with white folks every day. If you work at a job or anywhere, whether it's at a school or at a corporation or a fast food place or in the mall, whatever, you work with other races. You know? So why are you running around here being racist and stereotyping? If you're black, then you're criminals. You're thugs. You know, if you're wearing a hoodie and your pants is hanging, because I've seen some white boys' pants hanging down. Okay, some of them showing all kinds of crack. You know what I'm saying? It starts at home. It's what you do at home with your children. It's how you treat them and teach them stuff at home. Don't get me wrong. Now, teenagers do have this thing that when they get into the teens, they want to wear their pants hanging down, you know, and my sons, I would just choke both of them, because my oldest one was famous. Back in the day when Angie was growing up, Angie wanted to wear sweatpants, and y'all would know, they would take their belt and tie these belts, and it would be hanging off their butt that to hold up their jeans, and they have on these long T-shirts. And I told my son, you ain't allowed to do all that. You want some baggy pants, I'll go buy you some. But you ain't walking out of my door with your pants hanging off your ass. I'm not having that. That's not how you going to dress in my house. You know, I'm all for you, you know, being your own, you know, trying to come into your own space and get your own style. But your pants hanging off your ass, that's a style we ain't going to be dealing with. That's a problem. That'll get you knocked upside your head. And all this stuff starts at home. If I taught my son to be prejudiced, and guess what? They wouldn't like white folks. But anybody that know my son, they can know y'all for 5 minutes. And if they cool with you, trust me, before they leave, you're going to get a hug and a kiss before you roll up out that door. Okay? You know? So it's how you treat your home base first. It's how it starts there. You know, I think that we have to be aware. Now, I had to tell, you know, my son, they quick to hug you. Anthony more quicker to hug you than Eric, okay? But the thing is, you have to make them aware. Because you got some white folks, they ain't been around black people. So they might look at you like, why is this child hugging me? You know, type thing. Okay? So you have to be aware, but you don't make them aware to the point where you say, well, don't, you know, they ain't been around black folks and you know, hate them. You don't do that. You don't teach them to hate people. You just don't. You don't teach them to hate. And you're right, Marquita, yes, you do. You have to teach your kids how to dress. It starts at home. It really do. If you talk as a parent, if you talk hateful about white folks, guess what? Your kids, they just like a tape recorder, thing you say. So guess what? They're going to display that type of behavior in school or out in public. You know, my son's best friend was a little boy. I think he was Filipino. That was his buddy. They couldn't be without each other. All day, they were with each other all day long. They couldn't be without each other all day. And I remember having a birthday party, and they came over. And black folks, we do some stupid stuff because we do that prejudice stuff within our race. Like if you high yellow and you dark, she can't be around me. That girl is too dark. Oh, her hair's nappy. Oh, so all dark-skinned, brown-skinned girls got nappy hair. They ain't got no hair. That's a lie. Well, y'all, that's stupid stuff that we shouldn't even be doing. It, you know, we shouldn't even be doing that. But this is our society. This is we're teaching this stuff at home. So this is why, you know, we grow up. This our mindset has already been set early. So all this stuff starts from home. So now how do we rectify to get people to come together and stop blaming Obama for all this mess? Because racism it's been alive and well in this country forever. I don't know what to say. Now, Comedian Michael, we got you on here, so you know I ain't going to just let you roll out and not say that, but you're a black man, so how do you feel about this?
Feel about what, the racism or the Black Lives Matter or?
All of it. Where is your mind at on this? How do you feel about this?
Okay, I hear people talk about I hear them talk about all of it. You know, President Obama, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. And honestly, this is how I feel. This is just me. I agree with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a side note, there's something that I don't necessarily like about it. And what I don't mm-hmm. like is I don't like the fact that it's you can't say who is a part of Black Lives Matter. You know, it's not like it's not organized. You know, it don't have, it's not like a member list. There's no, you know, there's no pamphlets or anything like that. So if you're black, you can automatically be clumped into, oh, they're affiliated with it. No. That's like saying a white person is affiliated with the Klan. You don't know. But for the most part I agree with the Black Lives Matter movement, because I remember coming up in school and I was taught a lot about history from at home, you know, from my uncle, my aunt. And I remember seeing the footage of, you know, black men and women that had, you know, the hose, you know, put on them and the dog sicked on them and they being hit with batons and stuff. And from my generation, it's like we had Tupac and he was very socially conscious. So we had a mindset that when we saw that stuff, we was like, no, that had to be that generation. Y'all had to do that. And I applaud you, but not us. So us coming up seeing that and saying, no, not us, and now it's starting to happen, it's like it's hard for it's something that's hard to take. So being down with the cause and marching and all of that, it's like I'm for it. Now, I understand when people want to get violent. I'm not saying that the violence that they try and do is warranted. I'm not saying that. I understand it, but it's like people are like, why are they getting violent? Because you got to look back. You got to look at, there's nothing in American history, nothing has ever been solved and peacefully. There's always been a riot. There's always been a hostile takeover. But in our side, we've always, with the exception of Nat Turner, incident, we've always chose to take that peaceful route. And then you see how that happened. You see, you know, the change. And it's like, I don't believe in the woke stuff, but it's just, it makes you feel a certain kind of way. The racism stuff in, period, it's like it's really stupid. Really it's stupid. Because we don't, as black people, we might be prejudiced against, you know, people, but for the most part, we don't want to be bothered. And we really don't want to bother you.
Exactly.
But I mean we pretty much, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. But I mean, to me, it's upsetting. It's even more upsetting because you have people out here that are dying. I believe the body count is like, what, 20-something police officers killed this year?
Yeah.
And black people, it's 500. It's 500, close to 530. Right. And I mean, it's not just grown men. These are everything from men, women, to boys.
And
you know, kids
I mean,
being slammed.
They're killing all of them now. It's like
right.
I want to say is, I always say that the other race that went through the Holocaust was horrific. I don't see how one man could just take away all those beautiful people like that. And to have those type of people survive that and to have stamped on their arms that they were they were probably worse than we were, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we didn't
doubt
get
it.
Gas. You know what I'm saying? But,
right.
You know, that should have never happened either. So I always say, well, I look at them and say, oh, my God, I wouldn't want to be on either side. You know? And just like you said, now, see, I didn't get a wake-up call until I think I was in the sixth grade when Roots came out. When Roots came out, now mind you, I've been going to an all-white school since preschool. Okay, and so here I am in the sixth grade. Alex Haley brings out Roots. And that first night that I watched Roots, and here I am, now I got to go back to school with my white friend. Okay? So now I'm I'm up in here, and this little white girl says to me, "Oh, I didn't know." And I live, you know, down south, so this is what they say to you. Well, I didn't know that they called y'all a nigga. You know, if my mom ever catch me calling one of y'all a nigga, she would slap my face. And I told the little girl, I said, your mom will have to get in line because I'd be going to beat your ass. That's exactly what I said to her. Because I was just, you know, that's a rude awakening. You can't, you know, you've been around white folks all this time. You can't just throw that at your child. You sort of got to ease in with that. Because my mom had, she had ladies that she worked on her job with. They were white women. And
right.
I remember this one white lady, named Miss Maisine. Love my mama to death. Her and my mama, they were tight. And Miss Maisine would come to the house all the time. She'd bring my mama all kinds of stuff. And then there was another lady, Miss Betty. Miss Betty had like 8 kids. I didn't like, you know what, I didn't dislike Miss Betty. But she had all these damn kids. And you know, when you were a teenager, you're going to get older. Her youngest child was a boy. His name was Mark. And every time he would come over, he wanted to eat my damn snacks. You know, like, you know how you had like popsicles, little cream popsicles back in the day?
Right.
Me little man said to give me a popsicle. And you know, when you're a teenager, you know, when you're about 13, 14, you know, when you were younger, you was cool with little smaller kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You was cool. When you get about 13, 14, 15, you start getting, you know, possessed. It's like, hey, you coming in my house asking me for my shit. That's how you get. He's like, you ain't touching my stuff. I wasn't prejudiced because I wasn't raised that way. I just didn't like him coming in my house asking me for my stuff. Like, well, I got to give them my stuff. Because every time they come over, my mom and them send them home with 5 or 6 bags of groceries like we're a damn grocery store. So I ain't like seeing them come over. So it didn't have anything to do with their color. But yet my mom, not only did she work at a mill, but she also was a maid at my driver's ed, which I never even took driver's ed on a Miss Brown. My brother did. But I used to go with her. And I would be out in his car, of course, just playing while my mom in there cleaning his house and cooking for him. And
yeah.
Even in my era, when I got to high school, I'm telling you right now, we weren't going for that. Because if you called me a nigga, there was going to be a problem. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't see roots. You imagine that. Now, here I am, a freshman, getting ready to go into high school. Now I'm up here with these little rednecks. And back then, that's when skull. I don't know if y'all remember what skull is. That's that tobacco and a little round thing like that. Yeah, that's skull. Yeah, them white boys at my school, not all of them, they used to dip it. And I remember my first day at high school. My school was big, and we didn't have no book bags back then. So you had to carry all them heavy-ass books in your arms and your pocketbook and whatever else you had. And they used to put a line up on the wall because, you know, freshmen, they don't want to tell you. Either they're going to help you or they ain't going to help you. And one of the boys was dating a girl named Deneen Thomas that went to she met her was in the same grade, and this boy was already in high school. And so Deneen flipped the script on me. When we got to high school, I became a nigger to her. I wasn't no friend to her. I became a nigger. And that day, walking down the hallway, she told her boyfriend about me for no reason, and he calls me a nigger. Now, I told you, my generation, we ain't going for that. So when he called me a nigger, the biggest book you got, the thickest book you got is about this tall, about that wide, and about that thick. That's your English book, okay? The biggest book you got is your U.S. history book. That bad boy was that wide and that big. When he called me a nigga, he not only called me a nigga, but he bumped me so hard that all my books and stuff hit the floor. I picked that book up, and whoa, his carrot top ass out. I said, I'm going to be the last, be the first and last time you call me that. I'm not dealing with that. And so my group didn't, we didn't tolerate. You called me a nigga, I'm going at you. It's going to be a problem up in here. I ain't dealing with it because I know you ain't got to call me that, you know. So
right.
I understand you because, you know, our parents, they got their tail pulled. They got feet. Them maids back in the day, when y'all watch these movies on TV that they're retweeting now, there were maids that worked in these white people's homes. They took care of your child all day long. They cleaned your house up. They fed you. When your girls come over to have bridge parties, they fed you. And they do all this kind of stuff, but couldn't use your bathroom. And a lot of them had to walk home. Miles. Walk home and get home late at night to take care of their kids. By the time they get home, they can hardly take care of their kids because they tired from taking care of somebody else's kids and serving you hand and foot, but yet could not use that bathroom in that white person's house. See, that's, and I think that keeps us black folks bitter because we know what we had to go through. It keeps them bitter. We knew what parents went through and what they had to deal with. And even, you know, I've been called an N-word. You know what I'm saying?
Does it really, though? Does it really keep us, Miss Cassie, does it really keep us bitter? Because I feel like I had a conversation with a white guy last night. And
uh-huh.
He said, you know, everybody of every race has a reason to be racist. And he said, you know, as a white guy, he said, I have a reason to be racist against black people. And I was like, you know what? That's your truth. But my truth is this. And I try and think of, okay, look at it from all sides. We have, as a race, we have every reason to have a bitter, bitter hatred towards them.
Yeah.
But we don't. We don't. I mean,
everybody ain't taught like that. You got some black families that are. Don't get me wrong, you got some that are. But
right.
I wasn't raised to hate. See, I was raised to see people for the content of their character, not their skin color, okay? When I was growing up, there were KKK still, you know, doing their thing, but during the daytime and at the grocery store, you see them out in public. They talk to you. But see, they wear certain jewelry. They let you know, in certain stuff that they wear, you know they were KK. They come up to you. How
right.
you doing, little girl? You're such a pretty little girl. You're such a pretty little brown girl. That's how they talk to you. So, you know what I'm saying? You knew the white people that were cool with you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And you knew the ones that dealt with prejudice. I mean, I could be in school all day long and plant my little white friends. As soon as I get in the grocery store and see them at Piggly Wiggly or Food Line or Bilo, this is what I'll be like, hey, so-and-so. They wouldn't speak. Now, you're a child, you don't know no better. But as you get older, you find out that their parents said, don't you speak that little nigga. You know.
Right.
See, all this stuff is taught at home. See, I wasn't taught to hate white folks. What I was taught that you understand that you have the ones who don't like black folks. You have to be careful with them. That's what I was taught. But I wasn't taught to hate you because of your color or because you was Puerto Rican or because you was Latino or because you was Asian. I went to school with all them kind of people. Okay?
In Philly, we had different. We liked Puerto Ricans. We just didn't like the Puerto Rican guys. That's where our issue was. We always fought a lot because it was like a few blocks that separated us from them. Well, it really wasn't a separation. But the
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rican cast would come over and they would holler at, you know, Keisha and Sonia. And it's like, okay, we ain't bothering. But once we try and holler at Maria and that, it's like, hey, it's a big ordeal. So that's where ours came in. But like you were saying, I mean, it's some of this stuff is cult. I think some of this stuff is cultural, and yeah, it is taught. And it's a shame that at one point religion was used to justify, you know, slavery and
mm-hmm.
and everything else. But it's like now that time has passed. And if you really read the Bible and you see exactly what it says, okay, that's not it. They use the curse of Ham to justify slavery. But if you read the curse of Ham, they don't mention Ham's name at all. So
mm-hmm.
there it is. In the Bible, God identifies himself as black. They say Christ is black when he was on the cross. They give the description
mm-hmm.
of him. The man who carried the Christ was black. Okay, so the black people there leave everything alone and let some things die out, but some people they don't. But what's going on today is you have people that are dying. And
mm-hmm.
we're taught that, you know, hey, just you don't take the law in your own hands.
Exactly.
But when you don't
exactly.
take the law in your own hands, justice is not served, but you say that it is. The most heart-wrenching video I saw Monday, I saw this grandmother on the stand talking about what happened
mm-hmm.
to her daughter. And,
yep,
and,
her granddaughter.
And she, right, and the girl was 7 years old. And she's like, why you do that? And then if you go to Dylan Roof, I mean, he killed, if you look at how black people are arrested and detained, I mean, you seen the little boy that was jaywalking, and he was
mm-hmm.
beaten, told to get on the ground. And it's like, okay, look at Dylan Roof. But when he was in the courtroom, you had all these black people that lost loved ones. And they said, I forgive you. But what does the judge say? You guys aren't the only victim. Dylan Roof and his family are victims too. That's what that's what that Black Lives Matter and the All Lives Matter thing
right.
is. And it's like, we're just trying to say that, hey man, we here, we don't want no problem. Give us the same justice that y'all deserve. But then they like to throw
that's
up
right.
black on black crime. Okay, you can have black on black crime. Us is 40%. White on white crime is 84%. But at the same time, we don't shoot up colleges. We also don't shoot up movie theaters either.
Well, we've had a couple. I want to say, to this day, I don't know if Wayne Williams, who was in Atlanta, actually killed all those children. I'm not actually sure about that. But we did have a young man back here a few years ago who did go on a shooting spree. Because, you know, he has some mental things going on with him. But I look at that as a mental thing, even with white people that are doing it. You know, you like I said, everything starts at home. When you got parents, you got these kids dressing in trench coats, okay, and buying firearms. These are high school students, and they go to school and shoot everybody, and the parents don't even know.
Isn't it kind of hot in Colorado?
Well, yeah, but homeboy came in trench coat. They had on army boots and trench coat, black trench coat, when they did Columbine killing. They come in to kill everybody, and they didn't care whether white, black, or whatever. They was just in there shooting people up. I'm not saying that our people don't do. Here's my thing. Regardless what color you are, what race you are, we all need to come together and stop this race thing, because God made us in the color that we are for a particular reason. There's a reason why he made me a black woman. You know, there's a reason why he, you know, made somebody else white or Asian or black or, you know, and a lot of us today are mixed. Because back in the day, you know, that was forbidden here in the state of Virginia. That law is actually still in the book. They say if you have 1 ounce, 1 drop of black blood. Now, mind you, your blood ain't black, it's red. But if you have 1 ounce of that, then you know, you consider black. I'm like, folks, really? even in, also in the state of Virginia, and they probably still got that law in the book. It's probably just not outdated, but I mean, it's outdated, but they just probably don't use it no more. I'm quite sure they don't, because there's too many of these light-skinned babies running around here, because my oldest son is one of them. But in the state of Virginia, if anybody remembers the story of Mr. and Mrs. Lovins, they're from Virginia, and when they got married, they both were locked up. They kept Mr. Levin, and he was in jail for a week, but they kept his wife in jail for like 2 or 3 weeks. And they banished them from Virginia. So they had to go, they moved to D.C. They had to stay in D.C. for a while. And then they finally came back home. But they did it because they were not allowed to marry. Blacks were not allowed to marry whites. Whites were not allowed to marry blacks. It has always been such a big taboo. Today, that's why you have, look at Thomas Jefferson, okay? Look at Thomas Jefferson. He had a black woman that had his kids. They his kids. They say George Washington didn't have any kids. That's a damn lie. The church I go to is over 100-something years old. It is Bethlehem is a black historical church in Gum Springs, Virginia, which is Alexandria, Virginia. And we have a historical society, and we had been to West D. Ford is the person that discovered, he gave, you know, his father gave him land, and, you know, our church was erected on that land, which is Gum Springs. That land was given to his son, West D. Ford. So if anybody don't know who West D. Ford is, West D. Ford is George Washington's son. But when you go to Mount Vernon, you're going to hear when they talk about Martha and her children. Martha was a widower. A widow, and she had 2 children. So when she got married to George Washington, at the time, it was said he didn't have any kids. You know, he was a single man. He didn't have any kids. He was much younger than Martha, and Martha had money, okay? But it was said that he didn't get married to nobody. Now, let me tell you something. George Washington was a very detailed man, very detailed. He was so detailed to the point that every plot on his property and where he wanted people buried at was in detail. But to this day, unless Bethlehem has gotten that information, they refuse to tell us where his son was buried at. And they say that when you come to the you hear like the little people talking and the tourist guy, they'll say, you know, George Washington never had any kids. Yes, he did. Had a kid. Black kid. I ain't gonna tell you that. He got kids. It's crazy.
Right.
Me growing up in school, they ain't talking about Martin Luther King. Okay? I was born in 1964. I learned about the only black guy that they talked about, George Washington Carver, the peanut guy. I didn't get to learn about Martin Luther King, like what he really, really, really did, because I was little. I was a little girl, you know, baby, when he got killed. I was born in 1964, so, yeah, you know, he got killed several years later. But, I mean, you know, I didn't really know. What I did know was that the Kennedys were – every black person that I knew talked really well about the Kennedy boys. So it seemed like the Kennedy boys were more about trying to give black people their equal rights, so to speak. Okay?
Right.
So that's what I heard. But when I went to, when I got to college, it was an insult. I'm taking black history. I find out that Queen Nefertiti is a black woman, okay? Cleopatra is a black woman. Now I'm upset. Don't get me wrong. I love Elizabeth Taylor. But Cicely Tyson should have been playing her part. Diane Carroll should have been playing. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Right.
Kid, you know, should have been playing those parts because they were black women. Why didn't you have black women playing those parts? And then to be in the entertainment world, why can't we just play any part, black or white? Unless it's a movie that specifies you got to have, you know, it's not a black person or white person. But why can't anybody? I think the first person that I saw play a part that it did not matter was Halle Berry, where she played, I can't think of the movie right now, where she played a particular movie where it didn't matter, you know, what color you were. It's a movie about what's going on. It's a movie. It's it. So like I said, everything starts from home. So now we're in this bind because we're not only dealing with police brutality, and our people are getting killed not because they have committed a crime. See, Alton Sterling, yes, he had a rap sheet long as my arm. Okay?
Right.
But that day, and yes, he was on probation, but that day, that man was not committing a crime. He was selling CDs and DVDs. He wasn't bothering no damn body.
And he had consent to do so.
Had consent to do so.
And then the man that lost his life with the weapon, and he had the permit. And I mean, I've heard that it happened. It was because of a taillight. And then when
I actually heard
the dispatch, it wasn't because of the taillight, because he didn't have a problem with his taillight. They showed they have the audio where the officer called in the dispatch, and he said, I see some suspects. And see a group is two. It's a man. It's two people in the car, and they fit the description of the suspect of the robbery that had happened earlier. And they were like, well, suspects where? And he said they're on such and such, such and such. He gave a location, and he said they fit the description because they had those wide noses. So basically, that's fitting the description. It's to have a wide nose. That's exactly what it is. But when the media gets it, it's like, okay, it had a busted taillight. No, he didn't. Once people start looking and doing their homework and just start digging, then you see it and come to find out what? You shot somebody that had nothing to do with anything. I mean, he had nothing to do with it. And you killed this man in front of his girlfriend and his daughter. But, oh, it was because of a wide nose. So that's like me going to Chinatown in any major city and saying, hey, there was an altercation here, you know, with, you know, some guys. I see a suspect. They fit the description. What's the description? They got the eyes is kind of slanted a little bit.
Right.
That's a
right.
whole bunch of people. That's even black people that got eyes like that. That's not right. But see, here's the thing is what happens if this officer gets off? Because it's so many times that something has happened. Oscar Grant, with that, we was like, man, he can't get off. Oscar Grant was handcuffed on his stomach, he was laying on his stomach, hands behind his back, handcuffed. There was an officer kneeling down over him. The guy that was reaching over the officer shot him in his back. There's no accident in that. He's not going to get off. What happened? Got off. You had a man that got killed.
Well, it seemed like all of them were getting off. That's what it seemed like. Even with Freddie Gray, they indicted, six officers? And right now, all of them right now that has had a trial, one was a mistrial, I think, or dismissed, have gotten off. And of course, Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, they got heavy SWAT teams out because if nobody serves no time, even though the family's been paid, if they serve no time at all for none of this, it's too. And see, now people are saying, that's it. We're tired. We've had enough of police brutality. It's time for us to step up and do something. Now, violence against violence just don't work, folks. It makes things worse. We shouldn't be going out here and tearing up our own stores and places. And I get Black Lives Matter. I get just go buy from black owned owners. That's it. But truth be told, y'all, we need each other. This ain't the 1950s and 60s. We need each other. If you think about what happened back in Florida years ago, where down in Florida, this black community was on one end, thriving. They had their own businesses, stayed in their own town. On the other end, which we're talking about, Rosewood. We had all these white people on this end. And this one white lady was cheating on her man with a Mason brother. Okay? He was a Mason. White man. This white man beat the crap out of her. This guy that I don't know where she met this man from, but he beat the crap out of her tail. He beat her to death. The black maid seen it because she knew what happened. So the woman cleaned herself up. When her husband came home, she told him that the black man that was there at the house that would help clean up around the house, well, he was the one that did it. Instead of telling the truth, because she didn't want him to know that she was cheating on him, was playing with people around on him. These people, sheriff, all of them, go on the other side where all these black folks at, kill all these black people. This pretty much shut their whole town down. Some black people did get away with their kids and stuff, but they go and kill all these people. And what's so funny is that the man realized after a while his wife was lying. It's too late now. You don't kill up all these black folks and kids for nothing.
Life is long.
See, you can't be like that. And like I said, I think what it is a lot of them angry. This is like me going to see A Time to Kill. I read the book. But to see them, I said, I need to stay home. Because to see this little girl get beat down, raped, and stuff, and then left for dead, no. See, I'm up and down south. So that bothered me. And I've been in the movies where it was an all-black, you know, movie, and they talked about slaves and how stuff was done. And walk out the movie, and these two white ladies in their 80s, all they could say to me was, matter of fact, that was, oh, that show wasn't, that woman sure know how to act. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, your daddy was somebody that had property. Okay, we were property. We were property. Wow. We're going to come back and do another discussion on this, folks. Our time is running out for the show tonight. But I'm telling you, we've got to have more talks with this. And I hope next time thank you, Comedian Michael, for voicing your thing. I want you to come back and voice it too. But we need everybody's input. We need everybody's input. Ms. Jenna had her input. We need everybody's input. We need to come up with a solution. So that's what we got to do, folks. But anyway, like I said, our time is wearing down at the moment. So, folks, we want you to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Just, you know what, spend time with your family. Sit down and try to come up with a solution, okay? And just not be part of the problem. We can't keep doing violence against each other because of their skin color or whatever the case may be. We've got to do better as a people, as a nation. We are America. We got to do better. Everybody trying to get here. Everybody wants to live here. So we got to do better. We cannot be caught off guard by other countries because they see us doing something stupid. So with that being said, this is your girl, Miss Cassie, my partner in crime, Miss Jenna, and the ATL folks. Have an awesome, awesome weekend. We'll be back here on Monday, hopefully, at 8:30 sharp, making it do what it do. And we're going to come back probably with a part two with this. So until then, folks, peace out. Miss Jenna, I holler at you. Comedian Michael, thank you once again. All my Facebook people, all my blogs up here, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. Peace out.
Love you.
Miss Cass, can you hear me?
Yes,
I hear you. I'm like, you see, all this hot talk. I don't know what's going on. My phone is like, it keep going on mute and all this hot talk. But before we go, I just want to go ahead and put something out. I'm going to reiterate what Miss Cassie said, encourage one another. My posting that I put out today, it was like be an encouragement to one another. If we can't be an encouragement to one another, then who will be? We got to start. We got to unite. We got to still stand. We can't fall divided.
Wow.
So, but with that being said, also this weekend, if you're out in the A, let's get some laughter in here. If you're out in the A this weekend, come by the Allen Jerk Cafe for our comedian Curtis J, who's out here in Atlanta. He's a night of free comedy. If you're out in Atlanta, Allen Jerk Center Cafe at 5038 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain. Show starts at 9.
Oh, man, I wish I could be down there. Oh, man. Well, I know he's going to blow it up, Miss John. I know, because he is crazy. He's going to blow it up. And folks, be careful with the heat this weekend. I meant to say that, Miss Jen. I don't know if it's going to be, but we're getting like 102, 103, 104 here. So please, 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 if you don't have to be out, don't be out. Get your walk in early, early. Get your walking in early, early. If you're going to the market, get it in very, very early, like maybe 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. But don't be out there in that heat, folks. I'm telling you now. So please be careful. Drink lots of water. If you ain't got to be out this weekend in that heat, stay inside where it's nice and cool at and chill out.
Please
there we go.
Do so, because we're on a high, like Ms. Cassie said, we're on an orange alert. That's an orange alert here is bad air condition. It is the air quality is not really good right now. So those with asthma, everything, be safe. Be smart. If you have to walk when the sun goes down, walk when the sun goes down. Walk before the sun come up. But just be safe. Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
Peace out, folks.
Till next time.
For the night, understand it's kinda late, and I gotta get home to my son, cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him, that's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more, let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death, I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed, I'm so blessed, yes, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed, yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed, yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. My son, father doing his absolute. I'm so blessed, blessed. Blessed, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Trouble gon' happen, it's just the way it be. Ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know, take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song, you're so blessed. Yes, yes, gonna rock the dawn all day long, you're so blessed. Yes. Hands up in the air, waving like we just don't care. We're so blessed, yeah, 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 yeah. Woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death.